Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted and privileged to welcome a very, very senior and accomplished professional from the advertising world, Mr. Tony Francis from India. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Absolute honor to be here.
Thank you. Tony is the Chief Revenue Officer of Matrix Publicities, a WPP company. And as all of you know, I'm very partial to authors. He's an author of a book titled The Autograph Seeker. He's a historical fiction writer and a media and broadcasting professional. And he's the recipient of the Distinguished Toastmaster Award. So Tony, let's talk about media and broadcasting. Let me start with saying, what is the role of a Chief Revenue Officer?
Well, as I said, I'm going to be within what I do, really. So I'm part of a company called WPP, which is the world's largest advertising and PR company.
Right.
So within that, there's a trading division called Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, the advertising companies such as ours, which is Group M, has always got our revenues from rebates, agency fees, etc. Now we've moved into creating our own content.
Wow.
So there are four divisions that I take care of revenues for. Mm-hmm. One being Motion Content, which is a content first company. Mm-hmm. So we produce our own shows, which then go on to television, radio, print, etc. Mm-hmm. Then we have a company called Inca, which is influencer marketing mm-hmm. business, which is huge and new and growing every other day. The third being Astis, which is a great alternative to Barter.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth being DTH. Okay. Now, these are four different verticals, making sure that we, you know, give our clients the benefit of all these verticals.
Hmm.
In many ways, it's also, you know, card railing so that for anything, Group M's got all the solutions for it, and so does WPP. So, of course, my job is to build strategies for it in terms of revenue, work with leadership and say this is where the revenue streams are going to be, a forecast, execute that.
Okay.
Another big thing is that, remember, this is a lot to do with internal sales.
Correct.
So it's also about horizontality. Now we've got experts in, across, whether it's digital, TV, print, the planning, insights, growth. How do I work with various divisions to bring out the best so that the products that we bring to the market are stellar?
Fascinating.
So really, that is my role as a Chief Revenue Officer at
Fascinating. So tell me, you know, over the years, The entire media and broadcasting has evolved from newspapers, you know, and when I was growing up in ITC, it was billboards, movies, cinema, advertising, and that has all now evolved into handheld devices.
Right.
How, according to you, has this change made all the agencies evolve and change themselves?
We've come a long way, I guess, Ashutosh, when you were heading this division in ITC, etc. Hoardings were big, newspaper was big, things were taken and printed, etc.
Mm.
When I joined radio, a lot of manual stuff was to take place. That was there. See, in the end, while I'm going to give the Indian example, now we are rooted. Television is deeply rooted, radio is deeply rooted, print is deeply rooted. Mm. We're a little different from perhaps other countries.
Correct.
So while that is there, it'll survive for some more years. Of course, it's taking a big hit. Print has seen a bit of a, not print rather, but let's say magazines have seen a bit of a fall from the cliff, etc. Evolution is because it's taking this. But today, there's customization happening at scale. That's a big difference. Today, it is not taking a few samples and saying, okay, and extrapolating and saying, okay, number one is X and number two is Y. This channel, etc. Now it's real-time data. Media broadcasting has become almost like, especially when you, you know, give campaigns out, it's almost like an election campaign. You can't have a campaign running for the same theme running for the next 1 year.
Correct.
It's changing, and so is media. And I believe each of them are served differently. But television content is definitely very different from perhaps OTT content.
Mm-hmm.
You can push the envelope a little more. To give you a small little example, Sun TV has been there for a long time. They've been having private producers who would give their shows to them.
Mm.
And there is a certain way of what GEC really is. Today, I'm proud to say that Motion Content Group, which is my division, created India's first digital daily soap.
Wow.
So what's different about it? Mm. We're saying we're taking a few more liberties. We're still keeping it rooted in the Tamil Nadu market. Mm. We're still keeping it, real, etc. But pushing the envelope a little further. Mm. So that the kind of content is for a different set of audience who hopefully will come every day at 9 o'clock and watch it on your device. Because about 90% of viewing happens on the device, as you mentioned. Mm. So that's the evolution that has taken place. That's what I've seen from my days in radio to what it is now. Mm.
So, just staying with the same thought, when we in films, we're looking at, 60 seconds, 90 second films. Then we got into 30 seconds that came onto the phones, etc. Now with the, these very, very short formats on like reels, etc., communication is happening in 3 seconds and 5 seconds. What is the challenge that you as professionals are facing to communicate the message so quickly?
It is not a challenge, really. It's an enabler. Okay. Your short format videos, like I will not mention TikTok because it doesn't exist in India anymore, like mm-hmm. Joe's and Takatak and a whole lot of others, are enabling campaigns. So while you have, let's again give an example. During the peak of COVID, mm-hmm. Wildcraft is mm-hmm. known for its bags, etc. Mm-hmm. They said that there's a right time to bring in its masks. Mm-hmm. So while they had a TV campaign, they had a print campaign, etc., they used short format videos in a very effective way. Mm-hmm. Because please remember that people like Takatak and TikTok and Josh, etc., mm-hmm. Can also have these filters mm-hmm. where we have a bunch of influencers who have lakhs and lakhs of followers, and all they have to do is have a filter on their phones. Mm. They do this and a mask appear. Mm. And then there's the Wildcraft branding there. Wow. So suddenly it enables in so many different ways. Mm. And it's serving again, because it's digital, you know who's tuned in, you put those filters in, and it's targeted accordingly. Oh. So it's an enabler more than anything else. So, and these are all homegrown brands in India. Daily Hunt has got their own short format videos. Times of India has got their own short format videos. Everyone's gone into it at the right time. That space created by the exit of TikTok. Very, as it's an enabler, really.
Very, very interesting. And I'm, delighted you're just calling it an execution challenge, which gives me a segue to my next question. And that is that, how is technology changing the world of advertising and broadcasting and branding?
Okay. So I used to run a radio station. Mm. And the RJs, the producers, the creative guys would always, they won't do their own thing. And they would say that, why are you giving me this data? Why is that, the moment I, meander into a certain topic, listenership falls down. I've come prepared for it, etc. But ultimately, data is data. You know that, this person has been talking on XYZ subject while competition has been talking about something more interesting, and therefore there was a bit of a slump in listenership back there. No one wants to listen to that. I believe that technology does not hinder creativity. It aids creativity. Mm-hmm. Because then what happens is you can change things immediately. Mm-hmm. ROI becomes that much more better. Mm-hmm. And that is what it has done. One really struggled, especially at a time when radio was a monopoly in many ways. I'm just talking about radio because it is close to my heart. We said that, there's a dairy method. This person has ticked between 6 to 6:30. Mm. I have listened to X radio station, Y radio station. Very, very primitive in its own way. Mm. In many ways, it is still that way. And that's when digital comes in and it changes everything. Mm. First, the party data tells you exactly who's listening, who's watching, who's doing where, what, and I can change things immediately. Mm. A clear example. So as I said, in many ways, technology should be an aid to creativity than anything else. And therefore, we can tweak. And earlier I mentioned also that campaigns today are like, it's not like before. You put that coding and hope that, great, somebody watched it. Mm. Today, it's the communication is like an election campaign. So you keep changing courses, you hear what the market is saying, you see trends over there and change accordingly. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. There was Zomato, mm-hmm. again a brand, it's a homegrown Indian brand, had a stellar IPO that took place. I look at the brand in many, many ways. Mm-hmm. One, the people who run it are also doing their bit to get the brand to another level. Mm-hmm. The advertising that is taking place also. Now, very recently, there was an ad that came where Hrithik Roshan is, there's a knock at Hrithik Roshan's door. There's a Zomato person who comes and Hrithik calls him Jadu, which is almost this space character in one of his movies.
Absolutely.
And this person is very, you know, very impressed and says, wow, it's Hrithik Roshan. Wait, I want to give something to you. You know, you've been rain or sunshine, you always deliver. Let me just get something for you. This Hrithik goes inside, this person is waiting. And then he's getting late because there's another delivery that's ticked. So he moves out. So the intent was clear that the rider is a hero. Unfortunately, people took it otherwise. They said, how can you call a guy Jadu, you know, make him feel like another thing. It's almost as if somewhere there was a lot of pressure from the way it was taken. And so they changed it in many ways and said, okay, maybe this is not working. Though our intent was correct, we want to stand by it. Somewhere they said, okay, let's change course. And this happened over a period of, let's say, a week. So much of money spent in that. That's one extreme. The second extreme is that here is a leader of a company who's also working on the brand, who gets a case where a customer is accusing a rider of being rough with her or whatever. So in fact, what Zomato did was they gave a lawyer for the customer and for the rider, both. These are, suddenly the brand comes alive.
Correct.
It becomes more personal. It becomes different. So a lot of that is happening and people are realizing that it's not just that ad that's going out. It's what are you saying? How are you communicating? How are you living what you're saying? Whether it's people, brand, process, etc.
Absolutely. And you know, I was speaking to some other very senior you know, creative people from agencies like you. And I asked them a question, which I'm going to ask you as well. What does social media pressure do to creativity?
Well, I don't know how to answer that. It's very, very personal. I can't put a single brush to everybody as such. Perhaps I am influenced by the fact that you know, we work with a lot of influencers. So whatever they do, there are a lot of things. The fun has definitely gone out of it. It's all about what do I do next?
Correct.
How do I make it more engaging?
They will become correctness. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And of course, some of them have their own voice.
Sure.
They said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go beyond. These are my territories as such. But surely, a bit of the organic content surely has been compromised in many, many ways. But the good part, if I can come anywhere close to the answer that I'm giving you really is that today, if an influencer is representing a brand, it is not like before. I love Virat Kohli, but it's the same Virat Kohli who said that lovely professional university brings out the maximum number of Olympic medalists or participations, etc., etc. Without actually putting something on top saying there's a paid partnership between X brand and me.
Sure.
Yeah. So that is taken care of. At least now there's a body which says that if you are putting out such content which is not really organic or paid for, please put that
disclaimer.
Now if it is personal, none of that paid media thing goes up, then I do my own thing. Otherwise, of course, spell it out that this is a paid communication for. People are figuring out, how do I crack the social media bit? How much is not too much? It's a process, and it can be, it can fatigue creativity. I think it fatigues you.
I agree with you. I agree. So Tony, let's now move to the next segment of our conversation, which is your book, The Autograph Seeker. Tell me about the book and this absolutely fascinating title.
The Autograph Seeker, because, you mentioned very early that you're trying to get as many stories out there as possible. And for me, that's what inspires me. The stories of people who are good. And some of the autograph was a nice theme in my life. It began with like perhaps getting Osho to put autograph and Bachchan's autograph and a whole lot of others. Now, if you ask anybody, how many of you want to write a book? If I go to any place, and a lot of hands go up. mine also was up at one time. It began with perhaps letter writing. It began with my time in Toastmasters where I would give these speeches, etc. So I want to write a book for sure. Mm-hmm. Now it's about writing a book, a story which already have, which is my giddy days in St. Xavier's, Calcutta. Mm-hmm. The discovery of the history of the structure that used to once be there, which was a theater in Calcutta. Mm-hmm. So there were multiple themes going. And what is creativity? It's a creation of possibilities. It's bringing four or five things together. So here I have the autographs. Here I have got this story which I want to bring out, especially mm-hmm. of those 80s and 90s in Xavier's. And the story of this theater, which then gave way to become the school, which is St. Xavier's College, really. Mm-hmm. And the characters over there. Put that together, I had the autograph seeker. So that was what the book was really all about. Mm-hmm. Story of a schoolboy in love with a girl who can't speak, and their discovery of this beautiful theater called the Sanskriti Theater.
Okay.
And the characters who were part of it, mm-hmm. and how that's linked to the history of the school this boy is in.
Fascinating. And you know, you also speak about historical fiction. I mean, you know, these two words are contradictory to one another, but I'd love to get your perspective on how does this come into your book.
Okay, so why historical fiction? Clearly, there's a lot of there is this important theme that took place in the 1800s mm-hmm. of a theater in Calcutta, height of British imperialism, a theater which does not even have ushers who are Indians, and there you have an Indian actor playing Othello, mm-hmm. and this married English woman, and this is true. Mm-hmm. Now you discover that there. All you know is that it was a big hit. People came. There was a controversy. The first play was banned. There were cops outside. But still, it was put up. People came, watched. And the next thing, all you know is that a couple of years later, it just failed and it shut down. And then it became, the Jesuits took over and became mm-hmm. St. Xavier's College and School. Okay. That's all I have, really. Mm-hmm. And bits and pieces. But you know that there was a very famous lady called Esther Leach. Well-loved and, you know, mother of three kids, but very, very beautiful. People are in the green room waiting for her to take her out, etc. But then she burns on stage and dies right in front of everybody else. Rumors, etc. See, this is the only information that I've got.
Okay.
Now, if I have to make a story, it obviously it's based on history, something that took place. Now, all we know is a couple of years later, it failed.
Mm-hmm.
Why did it fail? Could there have been a possibility, you know, possible a link between the actor, an Indian actor, mm-hmm. and the woman? Because it was taken as themes into a Bengali movie mm-hmm. by a person who was again from St. Xavier's. Mm-hmm. So somewhere it has remained in every Xaverian's heart. This is my take. Now, my take was that perhaps it failed because they invested too much in infrastructure. And therefore, the increased cost, there must have been some sort of a protest. Mm. Something must have gone wrong. Popularity went down. So those were my additions, really, to historical fiction. And that's what everyone does, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. So I have time for a few questions that I call personal questions, because our viewers and listeners love to get to know my guest a little better. My first question to Tony is that, what would you say are three key milestones or pivot points in your life or your career?
You know, these milestones, and if three comes, great. But I'm going to just say whatever comes to the top of my mind is what I'm going to say. I think whatever what has happened to me is because I've asked for it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, if I want to stand for election, I go up and say, listen, I want to stand for the election and win that. So clearly, the moment I passed class 10, a time when I thought I amounted to nothing, from looks, personality, talent, nothing, to coming to a new place where everybody is new, so you can just do whatever you feel like and pretend that that is you.
Mm-hmm.
Winning an election the first, I think somewhere these little milestones, that gave me confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Then perhaps winning the best I could at the moment I passed the year I was leaving college was a big milestone for me, because it proved to my father, who all the time heard that, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, that, okay, this boy can be of some value to the world. I'm still doing catch up for that. Clearly, that's one big milestone. Second is, of course, launching Red FM in Bangalore. Very badly beaten. We were a local language player. and then do exceedingly bad, a lot of pressure, and then take that call that let's turn it into English talk with Hindi music. And the entire process, the branding, the putting everything up, that's, I think you learn only when you do it. That was a big milestone. Really, it was more like a Whistler Corporation out of the grave. Lee Iacocca was big during my MBA days. Yeah. So for me, I felt that was big. Turning that around in many, many ways. And of course, the launch of my book and traveling. It began with, you know, hoping that 10 friends of mine will read it. But when it goes to Mami Film Festival and you meet people who think there is something to it and it does well, really that was a big milestone.
Fascinating. So Tony, I have time for two more questions. My next question is on failure. And I've often said this, that parents in South Asia particularly don't teach children it's okay to fail. We're always taught, come first in class, go to the head of the line, et cetera, et cetera. Yet we fail, we learn. My question to you is, what are some of your learnings from some of your mistakes?
Mistakes are bound to happen. They'll keep happening. You know, a little off from the failure bit, I think we only see the glamour part of it. Tony Francis, Chief Revenue Officer, Tony Francis, the guy who wrote the book, or anybody for that matter. But there's a lot going behind. It's and you're failing every single day, whether it's the presentation that you make. Of course, you have your great days also. And we are all in environments where we have to succeed every day practically because the world has changed. We're not in a controlled environment anymore. Markets opened up. So there's somebody who is doing that bit. I think people should be a little more honest with what it is. I know for a fact that the challenges are tremendous. Yeah, every day you doubt yourself, whether am I good enough for what I'm doing? Will I ever write my next book? Will I hold on to, you know, this project that is there for this year? Great, I've got this great promotion. What next? The challenges are tremendous. Failures are great because you build resilience, for sure. And I failed tremendously, plenty of it, which has happened. But the thing is that how much does it affect you? Can you just get up and, you know, and back yourself up? Resilience need to be taught. It's about that. It can't be done overnight. It has to start from school itself. You know, that exam that you want to escape from. Today my son is going to write his class 10. He's just praying that it, hope it doesn't happen. But the school is sending him, making write exams every single day. And on and on and on. Fails, learns, till it becomes, of course, I'm going to face it. It's going to be bigger. But I know that it will not crush me.
Fascinating. Fascinating. And my last question to you, and I've kept the best for the last. You are the recipient of the Distinguished Toastmaster Award. Tell me about this award and what did you get it for?
So I'm part of a club called the Toastmasters Club. It began when I began my MBA. Loved this place because it's a leadership and a communications club. So back in Xavier's, I had the head of the institution teaching us public speaking, telling us to observe those hawkers who use their voice to communicate, etc. Came to Bangalore Alliance Business Academy, Alliance University now, and it was the first nation to have a Toastmasters club. So it began there. It's a leadership, in fact, 1924, that's when it was established, where you learn public speaking and communication on the go. This is the highest level of achievement, really, where you have to do multiple things in terms of next number of speeches, having leadership positions. And then finally, after having done all that, you get this Distinguished Toastmaster Award. But more than anything else, it's something that I just feel blessed that I discovered and I'm part of. So yeah, that's what Toastmasters is. I would recommend anybody who finds it difficult to communicate publicly, be a storyteller, or even in leadership, suggest that you must join your local Toastmasters club.
How interesting. Tony, on that note, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you for talking to me in so much detail about media, broadcasting, advertising. Thank you for taking me through your amazing book, and I'm sure I'll look out for it on Amazon and all other channels. Thank you again and good luck.
Ashutosh, thanks so much. Fantastic questions got me thinking. But the most important thing is that you got me to be as honest as I could possibly be. Thank you, Ashutosh.
Thank you again.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.